And one of the things too, I should say about protein that I often don't hear it get talked about on a lot of podcasts. So then most people are saying, well, you know, there's enough protein in all the plant-based food. So just, you're going to be fine. But the thing is, people aren't talking about what happens when you consume too much protein. So every time you consume an animal-based product or a lot of dairy, like it's high in protein, the thing is that this does make your body acidic. It does put your body into a fermentative state. It puts your body into a state where you're producing byproducts that cancer loves to eat up. Okay. You're also putting tons of pressure on your kidneys because your kidneys are responsible for excreting the excess protein so you don't enter into acidosis.
Welcome to the Plant-Based Curious Podcast, a place to explore and discover the plant-based and vegan lifestyle. Each week, we'll talk about our own stories and real discoveries, alongside our experts and experienced guests, about changing behaviors, whole food living, nutrition, and the amazing facts and positive curiosities about veganism. We're here for you as a guide and a place to gather resources. But with the simple click of our subscribe button, you're allowing yourself a little time and good energy to listen, laugh, and indulge in the lifestyle you may love. Please welcome your host, a certified holistic coach and plant-based lifestyle believer, Diane Randall.
Welcome to the Plant-Based Curious Podcast. In this episode, we're going to have the pleasure of speaking with Nicolette Roche, a regenerative medicine educator, entrepreneur, author, doctoral student, and speaker, who is passionate about educating people on how to heal their bodies from chronic diseases through nutrition and detoxification. Nicolette has an insatiable desire to learn and educate and has helped many people transform their lives through plant-based whole foods nutrition. Today, she's here to talk to us about how the human body can heal itself from disease and how plant-based nutrition plays a role. Nicolette, welcome to Plant-Based Curious.
Thank you. Such a great name for a podcast. I was just thinking about that for all the people who, don't know about the benefits of plant-based eating. So, great name.
Well, thank you for that. And I am happy to have you here to really talk about the correlation between chronic disease and eating plant-based food, because that is something that's a mystery to many, many people. So before we go there, can you tell us a bit about your background and what made you choose regenerative medicine?
Yeah, well, this goes back many, many years when I was living in North Vancouver, British Columbia, and I was living in a house that had, there was 12 of us that lived in it. It was beautiful colonial house, 6 suites, and we were just into all things trendy health and wellness. So if there was a fad cleanse, a fad program, it was take chromium pills for weight loss. Like, it was just ridiculous, this stuff. But we were exploring. And then it was when one of our friends that lived in the house, her dad, who was 72 at the time, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was given 3 months to live. And he wasn't offered conventional treatment. So chemo, surgery, and radiation were not in the plan for him by the medical system. Not that he, said no to it. So he didn't take any other conventional treatment. Well, he ended up turning to a plant-based whole food diet with supplementing with the missing nutrients you cannot get through food, whether it's meat you're eating or just vegetables and plant-based whole foods. So he took those. He made sure he detoxified his liver daily, and he did that. And he was cancer-free and lived another 22 more years just from food alone. So I was a researcher getting into, my early 20s. I was just getting into doing my master's, working in government. I was doing environmental policy work in government. And so when I learned about this concept of making sure your body's nutrified with lots of nutrients, and you can only get that through plant-based whole food, because unfortunately meat, you don't get fiber in meat. Right. Unfortunately with meat, you get high amounts of fat. So you have to be getting an abundance of nutrients that are healing, and you don't want too much of the nutrients that often come with an animal-based diet that end up like harming your organs. So once I started to learn this, like, I couldn't turn back, and I just started teaching everybody the therapy that he did. And that's how this all began. And all the people I started teaching, they would do it, they would heal. And I couldn't believe it. I was blown away that you didn't have to be a medical doctor to be able to support people in reversing their chronic diseases.
Mm.
So for people that are listening, can you just tell us a little bit about what that process might look like?
Yeah. So the first thing people need to know is that if you're eating any foods that are coming out of a box or a package or a container, a bottle, and if it has to have a label on it, then that's going to make it quite difficult for you to reverse your chronic diseases. And we are now in this world today where more and more people are transitioning to eating plant-based or being vegan. And I really don't love those terms at all, because it could mean that you eat at A&W or any fast food joint and get a plant-based burger that's so rich in oils, refined sodium, refined sugars, unnatural, loads of unnatural ingredients that really is not even fit for most cosmetics. And meanwhile, they're putting it into these burgers. And so then we have all these people running around thinking that they're doing good things for their body. They're plant-based. They are vegan. And people are still need to understand there's a huge difference between unrefined plant-based whole food and processed plant-based whole food. So when people understand that, then that's when they're going to start to see incredible results. They're going to reverse their diabetes in 7 to 30 days. They're going to reverse their heart disease in less than 3 months. They're going to reverse very advanced autoimmune disorders in just a few short months. And the body heals so fast. But unfortunately, we can't do this with a refined food, plant-based diet.
Well, it's so good that you say that, Riche. I'm spending so much time helping listeners discern the difference between vegan and plant-based nutrition and why one is what it is and the other one is, and why whole food is where the medicine is.
That's where the medicine is. Yeah.
I've been talking a lot about that in these early podcasts because I wanted to lay a foundation for that. So I'm so glad that you talked about unrefined foods. And that leads me to the next question. You talked about healing, and that sounds great. You know, people that aren't plant-based, that don't practice, they may be a little leery about what you're saying. So can you talk about some of the common misconceptions that you hear from maybe your clients or people that you talk to?
Yeah. So the number one, which quite frankly, I have to say, I'm so tired of hearing, is where's the protein? And I get, and you know what? It's not that I'm tired of answering it, because I actually love educating. I love teaching. But the reason, it actually makes me sad, because it shows us that we're these incredibly intelligent humans. Like, we can develop robots and AI, and we can do like open heart surgery. But the average North American cannot tell you what protein is. Meanwhile, everybody's running around being like, we need our protein. We need our protein. We need like 1 gram of protein per kilogram of weight. And they have all these mathematical formulas, but they cannot even tell you what protein is. So, and I'm talking about physicians don't even know what protein is, which is, I can't live on a plant-based diet because you won't get enough protein. You're going to have stunted growth.
I've heard that.
Well, that's interesting, because there's protein in romaine lettuce. There's protein in chickpeas, there's protein in carrots, in onions, in garlic, because every living thing on the planet that you can consume, which is equivalent of about 350,000 plant species, all of those contain protein, because you don't even eat protein, you eat amino acids. And amino acids are the building blocks of protein. So if you and I eat an apple, that like chop it in half, you have one half of the same apple picked at the same time from the tree, and I eat the other half, your body's going to turn that apple into different protein in the body. And I'm going to take the apple and it's going to mix with all the other amino acids that I consumed a few hours earlier for lunch or breakfast. And it's going to build new proteins that my body needs. You know, maybe I need to heal a shoulder that's inflamed from a sports injury. Maybe you need to heal, an aspect of a chronic illness, or your liver, your kidneys. Like, so all of these individuals are basically eating meat and eating all of these high protein shakes and high protein supplements because they think they need it, but they cannot tell you what protein is. And protein is everywhere, and it's prevalent in every plant-based food. And it is comes in the healthiest form because of the fact that it comes with so much fiber. It comes with 25,000 different nutrients that you get through the food itself. Whereas meat, unfortunately, less minerals, net less nutrients, no fiber. And that's probably the biggest detriment to our society.
Right. And I also feel because we're so conditioned to eat meat, because part of that is if we don't eat meat, then we have to eat supplemental protein.
Yeah. And that's it's and one of the things, too, I should say about protein that I often don't hear it get talked about on a lot of podcasts. So then most people are saying, well, you know, there's enough protein in all the plant-based foods. So just you're going to be fine. But the thing is, people aren't talking about what happens when you consume too much protein. So every time you consume an animal-based product or a lot of dairy, like it's high in protein. The thing is that this does make your body acidic. It does put your body into a fermentative state. It puts your body into a state where you're producing byproducts that cancer loves to eat up. Okay. You're also putting tons of pressure on your kidneys because your kidneys are responsible for excreting the excess protein so you don't enter into acidosis. And so everybody eats their breakfast, like their two eggs and their bacon and sausage, and then they wait a couple hours and then they have their like ham sandwich or whatever they're eating at lunch, more protein, and then they move into dinner, and then all of a sudden they're just having their steak or their chicken or their, even if it's these isolated soy protein where they're consuming that, then all of a sudden, so it's just too much protein in a given day, which really puts a lot of stress on your kidneys. It puts a lot of stress on your liver. It puts a lot of stress on every organ. And of course, so that's the part that a lot of people aren't talking about. And we have right now, like chronic kidney disease, I think is going to be one of the leading diseases that rises up in our nation over the next 5-10 years.
Oh my goodness. So if someone's listening right now and they're trying to figure out if they are eating too much protein, what would you tell them to go about just trying to figure out, am I getting enough?
Yeah. So if you are eating a well-balanced diet, like if you're like, I don't know if anybody's read Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights. I think it's called Green Lights, a really good book, but he talks about when he first became vegan or vegetarian and how he ate ketchup on iceberg lettuce for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay.
And he did this for a long time. This is not a healthy vegetarian diet. Okay. So please, the book is brilliant, but it made me question him a little bit to be like, but he was a young kid at the time when he did
it. Okay.
And so you want to have a well-balanced diet, but it's really easy to do that. Even if you're living in a remote rural area where you don't have access to a lot of diverse ingredients. So if you're eating a whole grain breakfast, so it could be like oatmeal, it could be if you can stand gluten, you can have like hard red wheat kernels, or you can have a quinoa breakfast. You can have, you know, even rice for breakfast with vegetables. Like everybody is conditioned to think that bacon and eggs is breakfast or cereal in a box is breakfast and toast is breakfast, but it can be way more than that. And so you don't have to think too much about it. I mean, for every meal, choose 5 to 10 ingredients, chop them up, cook them, make them into tacos, lasagna. It doesn't matter what it is, but just make sure they're whole food ingredients. And you want to think like if you were born and raised in North America, you got to step out of the North American mindset and start to just look at what people in Mexico eat, in South America, in Asia, in India, in Africa. There's usually some sort of grain and a bean combined, a legume and a pulse with some sort of grain, and then a lot of vegetables. And it's really easy. And when you eat this way, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to go buy expensive goji berries and maca powder and lucuma and like all of these crazy superfoods, because, and if anybody who's listening online, superfoods I have in quotes, because I'm like, a potato is a superfood, a squash is a superfood,
right.
It's not expensive, it's actually so cheap. And so you could be eating a more nutritious breakfast, lunch, and dinner, have a more nutritious lifestyle, and be spending less on food if you just stick to real whole foods.
But somehow I feel that people feel that's just too easy.
And I'm so glad we said that. I was just training. So we have, we train coaches. And so we train healthcare workers, naturopaths, doctors, dietitians, and a lot of nutritionists who've graduated from all these nutrition schools, and they have no idea how to help anybody. They come out and they're just like, oh, you could do keto. That'll help you. Or you could, you know, like they're just perpetuating a lot of these trendy food myths that are not backed by science at all. And so they can't actually help anybody reverse their chronic disease. So when, and I was just, we have coaching every week. So I was teaching them that your clients will come to you And when they want to use plant-based whole food as medicine to reverse their disease, and you'll tell them exactly what to do, and they're going to be like, it's too easy. There's no way that you're telling me to eat potatoes and yams and squash and beans and whole grains. And like, no, it's got to be way more complicated than that. You need crazy meal plan. And you don't. Like, you just need to go to the grocery store, choose 10 ingredients off the produce aisle and take it home, cook it, chop it, and cook it and eat it.
And that's what I tell people is you just need to spend some time unlearning everything that you thought you knew about food. Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Because until you let that go, there's always going to be this comparison to plant-based foods. And it's just a totally different mindset. I mean, it's just so simple, so light that people say it must be something going on here. This doesn't feel right.
Exactly. And that's the thing is that your body just cares about nutrients, but it really hates all the other toxic ingredients that we're putting in our food, the dyes, the food colorings, the refined sodium, oil, and sugar, all the things that are not natural to our earth. And so most people are consuming 80% of that and not even 20% vegetables. I think the average North American is only taking in like 3 out of the 10 fistfuls of whole plant-based foods that they need to be consuming. And so when I tell that to people, they're like, what? How could I even eat that much? And I know, but that's, and I'm like, but you are eating that much in a day, but you're just eating it in refined processed garbage food. And sure, it tastes really good. It tastes like a party in your mouth. But I'm telling you, the minute you're in the doctor's office and they're like, you have diabetes, you're going blind, we might need to amputate your leg, or, you know, you're going to have a heart attack, or you have had one. Yeah, and that food doesn't taste so good anymore.
I'm just so happy you said that, because that's one reason I started this podcast, because if I could just reach a few people that can save their own lives from all of these chronic diseases instead of just ramping up on more medicine, that would really be awesome.
Well, I love that you're doing this podcast too, and that you are a person of color as well. Because if you just focus just on all the Black communities or the Hispanic communities, I mean, at the end of the day, like, the foods that we're eating are not our cultural foods. And we tell ourselves that. And most, I mean, whether you're a person of color or not, we tell ourselves like, oh, we need the big turkey dinner stuffed with bacon and whatever else you put in there, and because it's our cultural food. It's like what we grew up eating, or it's like grits with butter and fried chicken or whatever it is. A lot of people think it's their cultural food, but it's not. It's the food that was really brought in by, number one, slavery. It was brought in by industrialization of our foods through colonization. And we've come to believe it's our cultural foods when it truly isn't, because most humans across the globe for millions of years did not consume food the way we consume it today.
Right. And as time goes on, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. So where do we draw the line, and where do we stop putting all this crap into our bodies and our minds as something that supports us, but really it's killing us? So I'm so glad that you're here talking about regenerative medicine and how you help people, as well as train other coaches who definitely support other people. So that is just awesome. Can you talk about detoxification? Because I know someone's listening that has cancer, diabetes. How does that support people in reversing their chronic issues?
Yeah, so that's another area where there's been a lot of people who have, you know, I don't want to say everything's driven by money, but everybody wants to take one aspect of health and try and make money
on
it.
Yes.
All of these cleanses, these detoxes, these, you know, things that you do once a year for 2 weeks, or, you know, once a year for, I'm like, the body doesn't work that way. I'm sorry to say. The body needs to detox every single day.
Okay.
It's designed to do that. So we have all of these detoxification pathways through our body. So that means that you consume something indirectly or directly. That means you take your hand, put the food in your mouth, you you know, chew it and swallow it, or it comes in indirectly through our air, through our water that you're bathing in, just walking around in a grass that's been a grassy field in a park that's been sprayed in pesticides. We're getting these toxic chemicals in every day. So we do it voluntarily and involuntarily. So our body needs to deal with all of that waste, but it also needs to deal with our own metabolic waste. What I mean by that is your body is not a static being. It is your cells are constantly dying and being replicated and being created anew. So the cells that you have in your body in a year and a half from now, none of these cells really, for the most part, will even exist. The ones that are here today will have died and been replaced many times over. So every time your body's breaking down to create new healthy cells, like your skin cells, for example, is a really easy one, right? Every time this is happening, well, your body needs to detoxify all of that waste just from your own body breaking down. So a 2-week cleanse is not going to do it. It's not like every year in October, or every spring in April 1st, like your body needs to get cleaned. No, it's every day. Okay. So when it comes to detoxifying the body, it's 100% part of our program. You do it every day. You do it through food first. You do it by rebuilding the organs, which then heal the detoxification pathways. So that is what's happening. But then we also have to physically support the liver and the kidneys in detoxing. We do this through food, but we also do this through cleansing the liver. And this helps to remove all the congestion out of all the organs, which allows your whole body to come back into balance, because every organ has a function, not just to detoxify, but often to process your nutrients and reassimilate them into the body. But if your organs are congested, then your body stops absorbing nutrients. It stops assimilating them and turning them into other things and converting them and metabolizing them. And then you just end up with a body that's essentially like New York City. If all the garbage trucks decided that they were not going to move through the city anymore and they all went on strike.
I've been to New York a lot. I've walked the streets early in the morning before the trash trucks have come. So I do have a visual of that.
It's horrific. Like every day, pile of trash on the streets. And every morning, the garbage trucks come or late at night. And if they went on strike, that's essentially what's happening to your body. You eventually couldn't walk on the sidewalks, walk in the streets. You couldn't get in and out of the doors. You wouldn't be able to get your trash and put it. You build it up in your own apartments.
Right.
Like there's enough room for it. Well, the same thing happens with our body. But then when that happens, literally all of that garbage in our body, that waste in our body, then starts to also break down the buildings. It starts to eat away at your organs, at your bones, at everything. So it's important that this is happening every day. And I'm sorry, friends, like some of the most expensive health trends in our nation are these expensive detoxes that you do one time a year, and people are wasting their money on them.
That's true. So what I hear you saying is this not only is this detoxification done all day, every day is done through whole food plant-based nutrition.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that again. It's done through whole food plant-based nutrition, not just eating, excluding meat.
No, exactly. No, it has. And this is the only way we can do that. It is to restore the body. So it's absorbing all the nutrients, getting rid of all the waste. And then it creates this beautiful, like infinity loop, right? That it's just like the stuff comes in, the stuff moves out. Viruses, bacteria come in. That's okay. The body can manage it. And it never ends up being something that results in an infection or a terrible illness. And so then, you know, or a chronic disease. And so we have to keep that loop going and moving constantly. And again, like you said, it comes to unlearning everything we've been taught about health and wellness.
Unlearning and continue to get all these messages. And I also feel we need to start turning some of that off. A lot of it off, because really it's so hard because we've just been so conditioned and programmed to do certain things, to like certain foods, to like certain music, to like everything. It's just the programming. So also I feel a part of this is, how do you cut off some of the noise that's coming in so that you can hear Nicolette's message about detoxifying every day and exactly what that means through a whole food plant-based diet, not the processed stuff.
Yeah. And this is, you know, I'm just finishing my PhD and we made it as part of my doctorate. I get to submit a portfolio. So I just created a 23-minute TED-like presentation.
Okay.
But that's exactly one of the exercises that I have in there for the audience, is that they close their eyes and they go back as far as they can go back in time to what their ancestors ate. And most people won't even know what they ate, right? They're so far removed from that.
Right.
But you
right.
can think about your grandma, like, and your grandpa, like, what were the foods that they put on the table? And now, were those foods processed? Were they whole foods? And if you find that there was a lot of, you know, depending on your age, you might have been born in the era of TV dinners and convenience gadgets for women. And so, and if that was the case, then you have to go back even further. You might have to go to your great grandparents, your great, great, great grandparents, and ask the questions of your family members, like, what were the foods that we put on our plate? But if you go back and go back and go back for multiple generations, you eventually reach a point where it's like all the food was whole. Most of the food was predominantly plant-based because most people didn't have a lot of money. They weren't wealthy emperors that could raise meat and have it slaughtered and then be able to consume it in high amounts. Like, meat was a sign of wealth. So most people were not wealthy. So they ate the foods that grew in abundance in the field, the potatoes, the dark leafy greens, the onions, the garlics, the turnips, all of that. And so, and that was the food as well that when hunters didn't have access to meat, you know, for whatever reason, well, what did the people survive on when they were out hunting? They were surviving on the berries, the grains, the nuts and seeds, the plant-based whole food vegetables, everything. But the most important thing to note about that is you don't have to read a single scientific textbook to understand that for hundreds of thousands of years, all humans on the planet ate whole foods. Whole foods. We didn't even start consuming all this excess sodium until like the early 1800s when table salt became a little bit prevalent, but only for the wealthy. Same thing with refined oils.
Right.
Those are
right.
relatively new inventions in the entire history of humanity.
Right. And part of it is especially for people of color's access, right?
Yeah.
Access to food, even from slavery. And I'd say the generation I grew up in, it's just access to healthy foods.
Yeah.
Sometimes you, a lot of soul food, and I'm doing that in quotes, is very extremely unhealthy, but some of it evolved from the access to the healthier, even the healthier parts of the meat or the food. So over time, it's letting go of all that notion and really let that go and look at the healthier parts of what the cultures bring or the cultures brought, as you say, and really look at how can we or you move forward with a healthy, healthy diet and how do you sustain that? That's part of it as well.
Exactly. And I love that you brought up the concept, and which is a very huge issue for many, many Black communities, Indigenous communities all over North America, is many are living in food deserts where it might
right.
take them 3 hours to get to a grocery store. And if they do that, a lot of it is boxed and packaged foods. And if you are a person of color, often in North America, you're paying 18% more for your food than a non person of color, you know, white people generally. So mm-hmm. that's the part that is, it's frustrating. That is the result of 500 years of colonization that has moved people off the land, taken them away from the soil, the beautiful, rich, nutrient dense soil
right,
where they
right.
were replenishing it as they were growing food. It took them away from their practices of, you know, hunting and gathering, and now basically left them on barren lands that don't grow any food. So access is a huge, huge, huge issue as well. But the beautiful thing is when people have the desire to eat real plant-based whole food,
right?
We see from even the documentary, people haven't watched it, please watch it, The Biggest Little Farm, The Biggest Little Farm, I think it's called.
Okay. Okay.
But it shows a couple that purchased a farmland that grew nothing. The soil was barren. It was rock hard. You couldn't even put a shovel into it. But then within a couple growing seasons, they're growing 79 different varieties of like apples and fruits and like, it's incredible.
Okay.
But people have to have the desire first to grow
yes.
that. Otherwise, they're only going to grow grass to feed the beef and the chickens and the pigs. And then the land's going to end up barren and you won't even have meat. You won't even
exactly.
be able to feed the cattle. So,
and another beautiful thing that's happening is there are neighborhood gardens mm-hmm. that a lot of the barren neighborhoods that don't have the big healthy oriented grocery stores. So that really has become very popular. So that is things. But just like you say, you have to be intentional about your desire easier to eat healthier. So
yes. Yeah. And you have to have the desire to be chronic disease free as well. And that That's comes right. from the knowledge that you can be. If your doctors told mm-hmm. you that you have to live with this chronic disease for the rest of your life, if they have told you it's not reversible, if they have told you medications and surgery is the only way, if they've told you, don't worry, these medications will help you. I'm telling you, you've been lied to, because we have endless amounts of research that shows us that all of these chronic diseases that people are dealing with today, 97% of them are fully reversible, but you can only reverse these conditions if you have nutrients in the body. And the only way to get nutrients in the body is truly the best way to do it is through a plant strong whole foods diet. And so if you, and unfortunately getting it through meat's not going to work because it is devoid in all fiber, zero fiber in eggs, chicken, pork, beef, fish, no fiber. And yeah, people need to understand that. That's probably one of the most important nutrients just to maintain health, not even reverse chronic disease.
Well, I guess we can leave it there, because I was going to say, what is the last thing you want to leave our folks with? But that was beautiful. Well said. Well said. So thank you, Nicolette, for sharing your expertise and insights with us today. It's so important that these messages are presented to the listeners, people who aren't really plant-based yet, but are listening. So you really gave us something to think about, and I really appreciate it. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
To learn more about Nicolette and her work, I'll have her website and information in the podcast episode description. And as always, thank you to our listeners for tuning in to the Plant-Based Curious podcast. If you have any questions or topics you would like for us to cover on the show, please don't hesitate to reach out to us on our website at plantbasedcurious.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us on the Plant-Based Curious podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed our discoveries, experiences, and resources about the plant-based vegan lifestyle. Remember to click that subscribe button so you can join in on our future conversations. Until next time, allow yourself a little time and good energy.